This week, again, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Today, we look to close out this very interesting chapter with our verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 16 of 1 Timothy speaks of our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and gives some tremendous attributes of Him and some of His works and accomplishments, if you will, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's look at this wonderful verse after a word of prayer. We come into your presence with thanksgiving. We lift up the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came into this world, who was willing and able to die on the cross for our sins. We just lift his name up and ask that you would, by your Spirit, lead and guide this message today. We pray that Christ would be glorified and lifted up, that he would be shown to the lost people out there that are listening. And we would also see that the Christians would be built up in the faith, Father, and edified. We pray for your guidance in Christ's name today. Amen. Okay, in verse 16 in 1 Timothy 3, we will start off by, of course, just reading this wonderful verse. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Here we see six specific areas speaking of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And notice from the beginning, it's verse 16 of chapter 3. There's many 3:16s in the Bible. We note John 3:16. There it speaks of how for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There we see love to us. But if you go on to 1 John, turn back there and look at 1 John 3:16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. John 3:16 is love to us. 1 John 3:16 is love to others. Then we turn to 1 Timothy 3:16, and we see it's been said by a brother before, the embodiment of truth and godliness, which is Christ. We could say godliness in the church leads to godliness in the home, and our behavior in the world. What a statement there as we bring the chapter 3 here to a conclusion and we look at the mystery of godliness. We think of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Satan said to man in the Garden of Eden, that lie, you'll be like God if you eat of this fruit. He deceived Eve. Yet we see here the mystery of godliness. Christ became man. We see here how he was visible. We see in Mark 4, he truly showed himself as man. He slept, yet then he turned around as God, and he was able to calm the storm. John 11, we see how he wept. Truly an attribute of a man. Then he raised Lazarus from the dead. John 4, we see how he thirsted, yet then he offered that woman eternal life. We see in a tremendous way the bounce of how he was fully man and fully God walking upon this earth. We see how he hungered, yet then he fed the thousands. My friend, this is the one that is the Savior of the world. This one that became visible to us. God was manifest in the flesh. You know, it goes on to say that he was justified in the spirit. Here we can see that he was vindicated. He was vindicated to be who he claimed to be. You know, we as lost souls are justified by faith in him. Not justified by our works, justified by works is a result of being saved by faith. We are first saved by faith, and then the works is what is pleasing in the sight of God after we're saved. But here we see justified in the Spirit. Our Savior was one that did not need to be saved, for he was doing the saving himself. But this means that he was vindicated to be the one whom he claimed to be. You know, in Hebrews 9, it tells us he's the one without spot. We could also turn to Romans 1:4 for a moment. Let us just read that little verse right there. Romans 1:4 tells us, and declared to be the Son of God with power and according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He was declared. We see also in Romans as well, we could turn over there to chapter 8. Our brother Jeff just recently has looked at chapter 8 of Romans. And we see in verse 11 it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So we see that we that are saved have the indwelling Spirit of Christ. But we see here it says Christ was justified in the Spirit. So we see he was visible, manifest in the flesh, and he was vindicated. He was justified in the Spirit. Then we see he was, we could use the word venerated, meaning worship. He was worshipped. We see the next point in verse 16 is he was seen of angels. Think of how the angels who know that this was the Creator from eternity past and going into eternity future, the angels being created themselves for all kinds of time that we could not comprehend in the past, the angels were there with the Savior. But we see that they were created at some point. Christ is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Nothing before him, nothing after him. But the angels looked at him, the one who was born from a virgin when he came here to earth. Must the angels have been marveling at the fact that their Creator, who was there for eternity past, there they were watching him at his birth. There they were ministering to him after, as he was there in the desert those 40 days and 40 nights. And we see how they ministered unto him as he prayed in the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Gethsemane, as he prayed and he sweated great drops of blood. Oh, my friends, think of what the angels have seen. The Scripture tells us as well that Christ could have called 10 legions of angels. What power our Savior had upon this earth. But you know, he refused to do so. Here was these angels watching him, marveling that the one that's the Creator of all was allowing his creation, sinful men, to nail him to a cross. He was seen of angels many times. These angels are learning by what they see his body, his church, doing. When they watch us, as we've noted yesterday in verses 15 of how it speaks of how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The angels are watching us that are in the body of Christ, how we are gathering in Christ's name. They are not redeemed. We are redeemed. The angels are learning and watching from us. In Peter 1:12, it says they desire to look into these things of Christ. Oh, my friend, Christ is worshipped. He's been made manifest. He was visible. He has been justified in the Spirit. He's been vindicated. And he has also been worshipped. He's been seen of angels. He's been venerated. Now we could also go on and see how he was quite vocal. We see that he preached unto the nations. He preached unto the Gentiles. We see he was vocal. We see how Israel was the chosen nation of God. And we see how yet we Gentiles were given that open door of salvation. We are called in certain parts of the scripture as Gentile dogs. We were not of the nation of Israel, God's chosen nation. But now, as in Ephesians 2, it tells us that there is the new man. Whether you were born Jew or Gentile, if you know Christ as your Savior, we are part of the body of Christ. He is preached unto the Gentiles, preached unto the nations, not just his chosen nation that God dealt through and with in the Old Testament, but he has given light unto all men. And men love darkness rather than light. So many will refuse the light, will try to put out the light. Scripture says he came unto his own received him not. So even his own nation refused him. My friend, have you received Christ as your Savior? He has preached through his word. He has preached through his public ministry on this earth. He has preached the word. And the scripture tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This one Christ has given you the way unto salvation. In the book of John, we can see there's seven, and I believe you can maybe count eight, I ams. In the book of John, Christ said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And he said, I am. Connecting himself with the I am of the Old Testament. I am. My friend, the one that said, I am the light of the world, has brought light into this world. And he said in John 1:1, that the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. My friend, have you receive that light into your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ? He is giving you opportunity to be saved. Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. So he was very vocal when he was here in his ministry. We see that the next point is that he was believed on in the world. This was what we call vital. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And we see that if you reject Christ, your appointment is the appointment of the lake of fire. So it is vital that, as it says here in verse 16 of 1 Timothy 3, not only was he preached unto the Gentiles, he was believed on in the world. Think of Noah and how there was only eight on the ark. Most of the world perished. Most of the world did not believe until it was too late. You know, think of how around that ark, all those people, when they did see the floods coming, they finally must have believed what Noah had said. They had to. They were in the water. They had to believe then. But the door was shut. Liken that to how one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And my friend, at that point, it will be too late for salvation. Everyone shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, but only those who were saved in this life will that confession mean anything as far as your souls eternally. It will mean something to the glory of God, yes, regardless of if you're in hell saying that or if you're in heaven. But as those that were outside of the ark, it was too late for them to believe the flood was coming. They were already in the waters of judgment. My friend, will you believe this vital point in verse 16? They were pointing out here, the Word of God points out that he was preached unto the Gentiles, and he was believed on in the world. And finally, we must make this final point, that he was received up into glory. Glory be to God that we worship a risen and living Savior. Christ has sat down at the majesty on high. This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe. And if there's one out there today that knows not Christ, let us just close in prayer. We pray, Father, if there be a soul listening today that knows not Christ, that you would deal with him with your Spirit and give him comfort from your Scripture, that they may know you, the only true God, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that's forgiven sins. We pray that you would lead him and guide him. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.